I'm John Aran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Apparently, we are told that the Georgia High School did receive a threat warning of the shooting before the gunman opened fire. And there are reports it was a 14-year-old kid. But according to the story from the Daily Wire, and we'll get more details in just a matter of moments here, but the Appalachie High School in Winder, Georgia, received a threatening phone call Wednesday morning warning of shootings at five high schools, including Appalachie, before a gunman opened fire and killed at least four people. And this is, of course, CNN reporting this, though, so we don't know. But the shooting suspect is believed to be a 14-year-old male in police custody. And so we'll get the details from that in a matter of moments. In the meantime, though, I do want to just mention, you know, on this Russia collusion nonsense, when our government uses bad guys, and they do this all the time, you know, there's always got to be a boogeyman out there. You notice that? There's always got to be a boogeyman for you to be afraid of something. That's so that they can control and take away liberty and take away freedom. Think of what they did in 2020 with the Hunter Biden laptop story. It wasn't just a matter of telling us it was Russian disinformation. Our government worked directly with big tech, with social media, with media, the corporate media, to suppress a story, to take away your First Amendment right to be able to comment on that story. You know, I'm sorry, but the Supreme Court did not necessarily say that what the government did was okay. What the Supreme Court did say was that there was not standing in the case, and they sent it back to lower courts. But in the Missouri v. Murtha case, the very essence of this is that if the government, and I strongly believe this, if the government is using its bullyishness nature to intimidate other people into censoring you, that's censorship. That's a violation of the First Amendment. No different than the health inspector comes over to the deli owner and says, you know, not for nothing, but this gabagool's a couple degrees too high. I'm going to have to shut you down unless you buy tickets to the mayor's ball. It's the same thing. If the government uses its power to intimidate somebody into taking action, whether it has a political benefit or not, but particularly if it has a political benefit for somebody, that's the worst kind of censorship. It really is. And so you were not allowed to talk about the Hunter Biden laptop. You couldn't share it. You couldn't learn more about it. You could not get answers to it. That is why this was so wrong. And the people that were behind all this had every reason to do what they did, because they all knew the truth about Joe Biden. They did. I mean, most of these people that signed that letter worked in the Obama administration. They knew what a corrupt SOB he was. They knew that the guy was using his office to enrich himself because he had the Ukraine portfolio. And don't forget when he said to the president of Ukraine, I'm going to take that $1 billion with me and go home unless you fire the prosecutor. And, well, son of a B, that prosecutor was fired. Viktor Shokin, who was investigating Ukraine. They all knew it. Everybody knew it. But they were selling a bill of goods to the American people. Biden's just a nice old man, and that's what we need right now. A nice old man in his basement. Keep you safe. Mean tweets from COVID. Make you wear a mask everywhere. Make those MAGA people wear masks. And everybody's going to be okay. And Tom Hanks will come out and John Bon Jovi will sing a horrific rendition of Here Comes the Sun at the inauguration. That's what they were doing. And so you were deprived of your First Amendment right to not only say what you felt, but to hear. Because the First Amendment works two ways. It's not just a matter of you saying things in the public square, but it's also a matter of you hearing from various speakers who challenge positions and so that you can form your own opinion on something. And so they used the boogeyman of Russia to be able to go out there and push that narrative. Now, Merrick Garland today did not actually outline any real efforts by Russia to really do anything, but that's not the point. All he has to do is go out there and say Russia is looking to interfere in the election. And that's enough. Iran's looking to interfere in the election, and that's enough. China's looking to interfere in the election, and that's enough. Enough for them, if they need to at some point, control the flow of information. Take down messages on social media. Take down messages on television or radio, whatever they got to do. Probably wouldn't be television or radio. Probably most likely be online, but you get the point. They can limit accounts. They can suppress accounts. And then they can go after people and prosecute them if they do things that the government doesn't like. under the guise of spreading misinformation around the election. You know, if somebody dares to make a joke that the election's on Wednesday, not Tuesday, or if somebody dares to say you can vote by texting the word Hillary to and then put a number out there, the government can say you're spreading disinformation. We're going to arrest you. We're going to put you away. Or if somebody says the wrong thing about how election workers are running the election, they can intimidate them into silence and complicity under the guise of you might be threatening election workers. Now, that's not lost on me either, you know. Very similar to what Merrick Garland was saying before and the nonsense about death threats made against election officials, which how many election officials are in this country? I mean, you'll pick a handful of people here and there so that he can weaponize the DOJ and the FBI so that people think twice about what? Complaining? Complaining if they see election workers who aren't doing the right thing or if they see evidence of cheating or evidence of corruption or anything else? Probably. No different than the way he was intimidating moms in yoga pants to sit back and shut up at school board meetings. Right? All you pesky moms going to school board meetings and talking about the COVID vaccine or your kids wearing masks or whatever else it was back then, the pornography that they called literature. And they didn't like that, so Merrick Garland sent out that letter. It's the same thing. It's all about intimidation. Maybe you see something at the polling place or as early voting begins or the mail-in ballot, whatever, and you think, well, I don't want to say anything. I don't want to be accused of... And that's all they really try to do is to just intimidate and silence people. Bad actors are dealt with through prosecution. Really bad actors. So there's no reason for the Attorney General of the United States to have a big press conference about this other than they want to be able to set the stage for this. They want to be able to set the stage for it. And that's what they're doing. And that's exactly what it is. So here is, I don't know if you have that Merrick Garland clip of Russia from C-SPAN or not yet, Matt, but you got it? All right, here's a little bit of him and Christopher Wray and their warning to Russia. Take a listen.
In the situation, they had five bullet points or six bullet points. The first said, ha, 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 ha. 2016 wants its cliches back. In all seriousness, there is a subsection of the country that when they hear Russian interference, they may believe that it's not true. It's not a real thing. How do you assure people this is a real situation?
I'm sure that was much funnier in the original Russian, but for us, it's not funny. This is deadly serious, and we are going to treat it accordingly.
Director Wray, if I can ask you, you've been talking about China for years now and the threat of China. Also Iran, you both briefly mentioned Iran and potential influence there. What is your message directly to the leaders of China and Iran who are watching through that camera lens right now? What do you want to say to them over the next few months and beyond?
Knock it off. As long as adversaries keep trying to influence and interfere in our society and our democratic processes, they're going to keep running into the FBI. We're going to keep calling it out. And I think nations around the world have started to also see the same activity. And it's not the kind of activity we would expect from nations that want to play in the first world space.
Next question, Alana. General Garland, I'm wondering if you can talk about what... how the Russian effort to influence the election has changed from prior election cycles. What new strategies are you seeing the Russians deploy this year?
I'll talk generally about it, and I'll turn it over to the FBI director and national security director if they want to chime in. Look, it's an acceleration of, and it's an increased sophistication of, and it's use of AI and cyber techniques that were not available in earlier elections. So we're just seeing more and more. It's coming faster and faster. It's now AI fueled. They're now using bot farms in a way that was not possible before, and therefore it's a bigger threat than it ever was before.
I would just say that the reality is that Russia has meddled in our society and tried to sow discord for decades. Really what we're seeing is just more tools in the toolbox with the advent of technology. First it was social media, which provided a bullhorn, and now, as you've heard, AI is its own amplifier. And so whether
here, just pause it there for a second. Thank you, Matt. AI, which is two letters, by the way, AI. This is, again, it's the boogeyman. AI. Oh, well, and now Russia's using AI. How? Well, we don't have to explain how. We just, a bad thing. Bots. They're using bots. They got bots. See what I mean? You just put the boogeyman out there, and then suddenly everybody consents to whatever liberty they want to take away. Well, we got to control the flow of information and freedom of speech because, you know, these rights, we can't let people die because of Russia. Is it any different from you having to throw away your bottle of water at the airport? Yeah, you know, the point that was made, and I forget who made it, probably, you know, multiple people have made it, but about how when you go to the airport, and it was actually the same thing at the RNC and the DNC, too. You can't bring water in. You know, you can't go. And yet they just have you chuck it in a big garbage can literally right by the checkpoint. So if they're really worried about these things being bombs, why don't they have people come and immediately put them in some sort of bomb isolation unit? You know what I mean? Like if that water is so dangerous, why don't they put if it's me, if I'm working there and I'm a TSA and I'm a union, I'm definitely in the union. I'm turning around and going, so let me understand this now correctly. You're not going to let that passenger bring this bottle of water through because it might be a bomb. But I got to stand here for the next 6 hours, 3 feet away from it. And you're just going to keep piling on more potential bomb after bomb after bomb after bomb, all until eventually the bomb bin gets so high, you got to drag it out to a dumpster, which is even closer to the airplanes. And then more people are going to load up more potential bombs. And the whole time I got to stand here. No, hell no. I'm calling my union rep right now. But it's all fugazi. It's BS and it's a fugazi, but they can't admit that they've been wrong for the last 20 years. So, you know, some guy has a water bottle bomb in the UK, maybe, who knows. And then now they got to take away our right to bring bottled water in. Big Water loves it because the minute you get through the airport, I got to pay $7 for a freaking Dasani. Although maybe you're smart enough to bring your refillable water bottle through. So you can drink the lovely Philadelphia tap water. But it's the same thing. You'll consent to giving up whatever it is, even your private property of that bottle of water you own. All they got to do is say, terrorist, bad guy. And you go through the airport checkpoint, you see all this littered with Gatorade bottles and Prime bottles and what. And you look at that, you go, man, a lot of potential explosives here. You could take out this whole airport. You could take out everybody. They don't seem worried about it. They don't seem remotely worried about it. Like, if it's me, if I'm in charge and I'm really worried about that, I'm having a bomb-sniffing dog sit right next to that freaking bin, and that dog is sniffing every bottle that goes in it. Or better yet, I just turn around and go, this whole thing's BS. You know how I know it's BS? Because we've had 3 kids flying airplanes, and we had a bottle feed all 3 of them. And every time we went through the airport checkpoint, what happened? They take a swab and they swab it to make sure there's no bomb-making residue on it. And then they let us go through with the bottle and the formula and the water and everything else, and we're good to go. It's a BS fugazi. But just like Russia collusion and bots and AI and how these fake accounts could be, and then people could die. But how? Make the connection. They don't need to. They don't have to. They just have to scare you enough that you'll be complicit when they turn around and say, we can't let you read about that story, talk about that story, have access to that story, share it with your friends and your family and your neighbors, whatever it is. Because Russia. It could be Russia. Could be Russia. And we go, okay, all right. Well, free speech isn't absolute. So if the government tells me I can't share this because it could lead to somebody dying, I guess I can't. What? Well, if you share that story about election workers cheating in Georgia, you know, might get a death threat and somebody could die. And you could be Russia doing it. So you better not share that story. I don't understand. I'm sharing a story about potential election cheating, cheating, and I can't share that. No, you can't. Why not? Well, because somebody threatened a campaign worker in Georgia and said they were going to kill him. And what? How does that affect me sharing that story? Russia. What about Russia? AI, bots. What? You're not even saying anything right now. Exactly. We don't have to. Have to say scary words. All right. Can I have a bottle of water? No, could be a bomb. All right. Fair enough. Keep going, Matt, if you would, please.
Shell companies, fake personas, secret distribution networks. The point is not the message itself. The point is the hidden hand of the Russian government, which deceives Americans into thinking that they're getting information from American sources when, in fact, it's coming from the Russian government.
Harry?
Mr. Attorney General, tomorrow is the first hearing in the January 6th case against the former president since the superseding indictment against him. He's called these new charges election interference and a violation of the Justice Department policy against doing something too close to the election. How do you respond to that, and how confident are you that your team has followed instructions from the Supreme Court following that decision this summer?
I stand by the actions of the special counsel. The superseding indictment is an effort to respond to the direct instructions of the Supreme Court as to how to effectuate a new indictment in an ongoing case. The special counsel is required by the regulations to follow the policies of the Justice Department, including the election sensitivities policies, and I'm quite confident that he did so.
Let me just make a point here on that. I wanted to play that, too, because of the issue of Jack Smith. Jack Smith's not a special counsel. Federal Judge Eileen Cannon has ruled so. Yet the Attorney General is ignoring a ruling of a federal judge. Also, we're in the 60-day window tomorrow of the election, which means that the Department of Justice needs to pause all of their indictments against the former president of the United States, as he is the Republican nominee for president of the United States of America. They're not going to. And you're going to hear more and more people turn around and say, that's nonsense. They never did that. We'll talk to Andy McCarthy tomorrow at 4 o'clock about it. Also, too, or is it 4, Matt? He's coming on tomorrow? 4 o'clock?
Yeah, 4 okay. o'clock.
Also, they're going to have the sentencing of Donald Trump on September 18th. Well, Alvin Bragg, the prosecutor in that case in New York, has now reversed course and now supports sentencing Donald Trump on September 18th. He had originally accepted the idea that they would forego that sentencing date because, you know, Trump's running for president. And we are at that point now would be at about, 40 something days before the election. I'm not good at math. You know that, but you get the point. But now Alvin Bragg is all in on the sentencing by the judge in that case, that fake judge. So anyway, Russia. With no evidence of anything. They just go bots and online personas and AI and you go, oh, scary stuff. What's wrong with fake personas anyway? I literally have a friend on social media. She just sent me a tweet. She uses a fake persona because she works in a company that does not approve of her political ideology. So she wants to be able to put whatever ideas she wants freely out there. I'm sure she's been flagged as a Russian bot by now, and I know she's quite American. She's quite human. But it doesn't matter. All they got to do is say people like her could be a Russian bot because she doesn't have her face, doesn't have a real name. This is why I tell you all the time, please, if you're conservative, don't fall for the whole age verification nonsense for social media. You will regret it one day because they will take away your anonymity. 100% they will. Don't do it. Don't agree to it in the name of the children. It's all BS. It's not about the children. The children in that example are the water bottles at the airport. Okay, they use that so that you agree to give up your anonymity so that you can no longer criticize your government without them knowing exactly who you are. And your ability to be anonymous can be shut down by them under the guise of you being a Russian bot, a Russian asset, AI, you're not real, we can't verify who you are, blah, blah, blah. So we're going to shut you down. There are a lot of people who are anonymous online. I don't blame them. I really don't. In this day and age, I don't blame them at all. There's a lot of nuts out there. And there's a lot of nuts in corporate America, too, who just want to see people canceled for no reason other than they just don't like their politics. So I completely understand. And you have a fundamental right to do it. Our founders did it. But yet there's this movement in many places now for this age verification nonsense. And they do it under the guise of protecting the kids. But everybody would have to have their age verified because in order to make sure you're not a child, you have to prove you're an adult. In order to do that, you have to verify your identity. So now the government knows who you are. And goodbye, your anonymous ability to do that. And if you try to do it, well, guess what? Now you're a Russian bot. And don't forget, they'll use that too. They will. At some point, they'll turn around and say, to make sure that it's not Russia, we need every person to register on social media. That was Nikki Haley's big plan at some point. Remember that? So we'll talk about, but and on that point, too, this is a resurfaced video of Kamala Harris on social media regulation. It's kind of is a good segue into this. They are directly speaking to millions and millions of people without any oversight. This is while speaking with Jake Tapper, Kamala Harris calling for government regulation of social media sites. And I wonder if she's happy with what Brazil is doing to Elon Musk and the site formerly known as Twitter. Take a listen.
He has lost his privileges, and it should be taken down. And the bottom line is that you can't say that you have one rule for Facebook and you have a different rule for Twitter. The same rule has to apply, which is that there has to be a responsibility that is placed on these social media sites to understand their power. They are directly speaking to millions and millions of people without any level of oversight or regulation. And that has to stop.
Yeah, that has to stop. How dare they allow millions and millions of people to directly speak to people without any oversight by government to make sure that we know what's happening? The owner of the, well, not the owner, but he's high up with the, what's the basketball team, Matt?
The Sixers?
76ers?
Yeah, oh, Daryl Morey.
And where do they play?
They play in Philadelphia.
Philadelphia. They're a what now team?
A basketball team.
Basketball team. You say the 76ers.
I mean, I barely know more about sports than you do. In fact, I probably know less depending on the sport. So you're asking the wrong person.
That's true. Well, Daryl Morey, did he play?
I don't believe so. I think he's just the GM.
No, he definitely didn't play looking at his picture on Twitter. I'm sure he's going to get bashed for this, but he put it out last night. Really hoping liberals wake up and choose to speak out now for our founding liberal principles. Otherwise, we risk granting excessive power to limit speech to a White House to which you definitely do not want to give more power. And he was criticizing the fact that nobody on the left is coming out and condemning Brazil for shutting down Twitter. And in fact, they all came out there and like dutiful little lemming lefties, they all came out and said, well, freedom of speech is an absolute. Oh, listen, and they all deal with the same thing. You know, listen, you're not going to find a bigger defender of freedom of speech than me. But I'm just saying. You know, you can't spread misinformation, you can't spread hate speech, you can't do those things. And you're not going to find a better, bigger defender of freedom of speech than this guy. But at the same time, you can't say things that are mean. It's like, what? You hear yourself? Do you listen to yourself? Do you even listen to yourself? The answer is no, they don't. They don't. And they quantify it with the, Oh, listen, nobody more liberal than me when it comes to free speech. But Elon Musk allows all kinds of mean things and Russian disinformation and hate speech. And you don't have a right to say those things, man. So, like, it's not cool. So, yeah, it should be banned. But I love free speech. That said, I'm a big fan of it. Just as long as it's not speech I disapprove of. It's, like, so stupid. All right, 855-839-1210. On Twitter, at Rich Zeoli. Listen, when it comes to your home, protection and peace of mind are paramount. That's why Emmons Roofing and Siding is your go-to contractor for roofing, siding, and windows. Your home will not only look stunning from the curb, but will also be energy efficient, secure, and ready to withstand the elements. With Emmons, you know you're getting top-quality materials and the finest craftsmanship in the area. So whether it's a durable, lifetime-warranted Owens Corning roof that stands up to severe weather, siding that keeps your home insulated and looking sharp, or new windows that blend functionality with style, Emmons has you covered. And because Stephanie and Matt know that times are tough for many people, they're offering each and every one of my listeners an inflation relief discount of 10% off roofing, 10% off siding, and 10% off Anderson window replacement. Don't wait. Call Emmons today at 856-885-6677. 856-885-6677. Or check out their website at emmonsroofing.com. Upgrade your home with confidence today with Emmons Roofing and Siding. And remember, I've trusted them in my home for 8 years. Two different houses, the old house and the new house. In the new house, they just put in a new kitchen door for us the other day that leads out to the patio. Did a great job on it. Looks beautiful. And they put in new skylights for us to replace the ones that were leaking. They do great work. That's why I trust Emmons 100%. Stephanie and Matt are great friends of mine. You can trust them too. They will make sure the job is done right, it's done on time, it's done on budget. And you'll be happy with that 10% off inflation relief discount. They serve our entire region, like I said, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, and the Jersey Shore. So don't wait. Reach out to them today. EmmonsRoofing.com.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
You know, this point, recently Mark Zuckerberg came out and admitted, yeah, you know, the government did suppress social media during the 2020 election. He admitted all this. We knew it. We know it. We saw it. But I just look at this whole Russia collusion nonsense again, this announcement today by the attorney general, as just more of that. You know, just more of them setting the stage for what they need to do in the future to shut everybody up if they need to. And that's what they want to do. So here's Professor Jonathan Turley talking about this idea of Brazil banning Twitter X from the entire country. And yeah, it will be replicated. No question about it. All in the name of, hey, we got to keep bad actors from giving you the wrong information or giving people death threats, whatever it is, whatever excuse they will use to ultimately shut down. This is why I have been so consistent when I've said to you, don't support this TikTok ban. Don't do it. I don't care if it's China. That's the other C word they use all the time to try to take away freedom and liberty. Ban it in government offices, ban it in government buildings, ban it at nuclear reactors, whatever the hell you want to do. I don't care. But don't take it away from the American people, because all you're going to do is force the sale of it, and it'll happen to an American company. And just like that jerk congressman said, the goal is to put all of these companies under the regulation of the government so that they can shut down whatever they want to, regulate it however way they want to. You know, we hear kids, we hear the two C words of children and China, and we all go, whatever, do whatever you got to do, just keep me safe. And they know that, and they play on that. They play on that. So that's how they get conservatives to go along with their bans and their controls and their freedom-limiting opportunities for everybody. But here's Jonathan Turley, cut six.
So this is plan B. You know, you have in Europe threats against Musk for arrest. They've already arrested another CEO of a platform. But it's really Brazil that I think many in the anti-free speech movement are watching carefully. If Brazil can succeed in banning Twitter from the entire country, it will be replicated. Because many hold the view of what you just heard from Vice President Harris. They view speech as a privilege. It's like a driver's license that they think that can be rescinded if you're reckless. And
you know what? They're starting
the
press conference here. Why don't we hold on that, Matt, and we'll jump in here and take a listen to what they're saying in Georgia.
A little more of a timeline of the events that have taken place here today and what we know up to this point with the investigation. At approximately 10:20 a.m. this morning, the Bexar County Sheriff's Office received alerts about reports of an active shooter and radio traffic from school resource officers concerning the same concern, or having the same concern. Within minutes, law enforcement was on scene, as well as two school resource officers assigned here to the school, who immediately encountered the subject within just minutes of this report going out. Once they encountered the subject immediately surrendered to these officers, and he was taken into custody. Additionally, what I want you to know as of now, there are four individuals who are deceased from this incident, nine that have been taken to local hospitals with various injuries. Of those that are deceased, two are students and two are teachers here at the school. The priority right now for us within this investigation is to gather all the facts, to make sure that we're accurate with it, because this is a murder investigation. As the sheriff mentioned earlier this morning, the shooter is in custody. His name is Colt, that's C-O-L-T, Gray. He is a 14-year-old student here at the school, G-R-A-Y. He is a 14-year-old student here at the high school. Again, he has been taken into custody. He will be charged with murder, and he will be tried as an adult and handled as an adult. We are coordinating these charges and obviously this investigation with District Attorney Brad Smith, who is the District Attorney for the Piedmont Judicial Circuit here. Since early this morning, we talked with you, and since the incident occurred, numerous interviews have been taking place through our investigation with students, faculty, as well as any other witnesses that we could identify. Law enforcement had a very, very swift response to this incident once the incident was determined that there was a concern here. those resources, whether it was a net response or throughout this investigation to assist, came obviously from the sheriff's office here, from other local law enforcement agencies, state law enforcement agencies, and federal law enforcement agencies as well. To include, not to be left out, multiple EMS personnel, multiple fire personnel, and agencies. Those agencies responded here as well today, and I am extremely grateful, as I know the sheriff is, for that quick response and the partnerships of working here together with what all has gone on. Currently, from the investigative perspective, we have crime scene agents and other special agents from the GBI, from close to a dozen of our different work units from across the state that have responded here today to work on this investigation, again, collecting evidence, conducting interviews, and so forth. I do want to pass this along, that if anyone has any information that wants to be passed on concerning this investigation, that they can do that anonymously at our tip line at 1-800-597-TIPS or 1-800-597-8477. They can also report this on by downloading the See Something, Send Something app. That can be done by Android or Apple phones, either one. If they need to report any tips concerning this investigation. Let me close out before I turn this over to the sheriff and let you just remind you that this is still a very active investigation. There is still a lot that is very fluid. There's still a lot of interviews to be conducted that will continue on into the night, as well as crime scene work and collecting and gathering evidence. But what is more important for me to mention here to you is my heartfelt
so you know, this is the press conference in Georgia. They're saying the shooter, who's 14 years old, will be charged with murder and will be tried as an adult. This is the Bureau of Investigation right now speaking, and he's going to have the sheriff come out and speak in a few moments. But they said there was swift reaction from law enforcement, and the shooter is a 14-year-old student, and he will be tried as an adult, as I mentioned.
We ask for your patience as we continue through this, and we'll continue to try to give you as many updates with information as we can to keep you informed. But thank you for being here. I'm now going to turn it over to Bexar County Sheriff Judge Smith. Thank you.
Doctor, would you spell your name, please?
H-O-S-E-Y.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. I'm Sheriff Judge Smith at the Bexar County Sheriff's Office. I never imagined that I would be speaking to the media in my career over something that happened today, the pure evil that happened today. I cannot thank the people behind me for the support they give me today, to give this office and give this staff. This hits home for me. I was born and raised here. I went to school in this school system. Kids go to this school system. I'm proud of this school system. My heart hurts for these kids. My heart hurts for our community. But I want to make it very clear that hate will not prevail in this county. I want that to be very clear and known. Love will prevail over what happened today. I assure you of that. It is very early as to what happened. Governor Kemp reached out to me and has provided me every single resource that he has to make sure justice prevails. I don't know why it happened. I may not ever know. We may not ever know. But I ask that you and our community lift up our schools, lift up our public safety, and that, again, we do not let this hateful event prevail as to what happened today. I want to thank the surrounding agencies and counties and cities and state and federal authorities that have come and provided us because they prevented a lot of more tragic events from happening. Continue to lift up these families. Continue to lift up our students and our kids. And know that love will prevail. At this time, I'm going to ask Dr. LaDuff, our school superintendent, to come and speak on behalf of the school.
Good afternoon. I'm Dallas LaDuff. I'm the superintendent of Bexar County School System. I want to thank the Bexar County Sheriff's Office and all of our law enforcement partners for their swift response today, along with that of our staff. I'd also like to thank our community for their response and patience as we work to reunify the students with their families here today and secure the rest of our school campuses. Our schools will be closed for the remainder of this week as we cooperate fully with law enforcement to get answers to the many questions that we all have about this incident here today. But as we are closed, our central offices will remain open, where we will have grief counseling available for our community every day this week and thereafter as we support each other through this terrible event. In closing, I just want to say to our community, as a school system, we are here for you, we support you, and we are ready to get you any support that you may need as we grieve through this together. Thank you.
Sheriff, if you're saying hate will not prevail in this community, are you investigating this as some sort of hate crime?
Well, shortly, if someone decides to take a firearm into a school where kids are given an education or entitled to an education and want to harm others, to me, it's hateful.
Sheriff, can you talk about the initial interaction between whoever was able to stop the shooter? Can you describe that to us? How did it go down? What exactly happened first?
Obviously, the shooter was armed, and our school resource officer engaged him. And the shooter quickly realized that if he did not give up, that it would end with an OIS, an officer-involved shooting. He gave up, got on the ground, and the deputy took him into custody.
Sheriff, any idea how the weapon got inside the school? And was there any warning that this was going to happen?
Not that I'm aware of. Again, very early, and we're still looking into that, whether or not or how he obtained it and how he got it in the school.
Sheriff, has he been in touch at all with his parents or his family to learn more about what led up to these moments?
We have.
Any information you can share?
No.
What kind of weapon was used? It seems like you have a large Hispanic population. Have you been able to communicate with the people in their language to make sure that everybody knows what's happening?
Yes, sir, I have. The school and our office has people that speak in Spanish, and they have spoke to those folks as well. Yes.
How is the shooter speaking with the law enforcement now?
Sorry.
Is the shooter talking? Is he saying why?
The shooter was interviewed, and he was speaking with our investigators earlier, along with the GBI.
How is that video surveillance? How is that helping you, Sheriff?
It is helping our investigation.
Sheriff, is this reports of threatening calls perhaps made to the school prior to the shooting? Is that accurate?
None that I'm aware of.
Were all nine injured victims shot?
In some capacity, yes.
Sheriff, can you tell us about the two individuals deceased and was one targeted?
We don't know of any targets at this point.
Sheriff, what kind of weapon was used? Have you identified the weapon?
Okay. We have not identified that at this point, no.
Sheriff, is there a connection?
This is the last question I'm going to take.
Sheriff, is there a connection between the shooter and the victims?
None that I'm aware of.
Was the shooter a student here?
I know that you have a lot of questions about the student and that we mentioned that we identified earlier. Keep in mind that's part of our investigation, that we're looking into every aspect of that individual, his connection here at the school. Obviously, as I mentioned earlier, he was a student here. So as part of our investigation, we're looking into all aspects, current and prior, involving that individual.
Can you tell us how many rounds were fired?
He is a student.
Can you tell us how many rounds were fired?
What?
The shooter is a student, yes.
When can we expect?
We do not know how many rounds.
Director, has that shooter had any past history with law enforcement?
For
now, this is the information that we have. It is an active investigation. I assure you, we do plan to come back out here in a couple of hours. Please make sure you're following the GBIX page. That's where we're going to be putting the updates. If there's anything that's new, we'll make sure that we share that information. It's still very early. Investigators have a lot of work to do. We appreciate your patience. Do expect another in-person news conference out here next few hours. Monitor the X page, and we will be sure to update you accordingly. Thank you.
And that's the X.com.
All right, so that's the news conference on the school shooting in Georgia. Key takeaways for you. Two students, two teachers killed. The shooter, 14 years old, and will be treated as an adult, charged with murder. They have not said what the motive is. They're not saying it's a hate crime. They're not saying it's not a hate crime. They're not saying there was a school resource officer who engaged the shooter. They didn't say exactly, at least I didn't hear them say exactly how long that took to happen. But they did say that the first responder, that the school resource officer got there very, very quickly, and that they dealt with the situation very quickly. So that's the latest on that. And obviously, this is already being politicized quite heavily by people like Kamala Harris, and it will be, no question about it. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come right back. More to come. We're just getting started, and we'll give you more details on this as it comes forward throughout the show today. 855-839-1210 on Twitter, at Rich Zeoli. Don't go away.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
That's the latest. Georgia schools will remain closed for the rest of the week, and terrible, terrible situation. The school resource officer confronted the shooter, and thank God that there was a school resource officer armed and able to confront him. You know, these things are not bulletproof. I mean, no pun intended, but they're not. I mean, obviously, schools can be big, and the school resource officer could be at the other end of the school. We don't know the details of that. But I did find this clip. Well, I didn't find it, but I saw Colin Rugg posted it, and it's Kamala Harris, who today came out and said, you know, never again, reacting to the shooting in Georgia by saying, it doesn't have to be this way. Well, she was speaking at an event in 2019. Kamala Harris actually called for the removal of police officers in schools. And don't forget, they also did that after George Floyd's death as well. They also came out after that in the Summer of Love in that particular time period and also said the same thing. And citing the idea of inequities around school discipline, defund the police, police are racist, and everything else. So here's the back-to-back comments here. As she called for school resource officers to be removed from schools. If I'm Donald Trump, I'll hammer her on this point, no doubt about it. Take a listen.
We've got to stop it. And we have to end this epidemic of gun violence in our country once and for all. You know, it doesn't have to be this way. It doesn't have to be this way.
And then also, again, what we need to do about demilitarizing our schools. And taking police officers out of schools. We need to deal with the reality and speak the truth about the inequities around school discipline.
So the school resource officer is the reason why this wasn't a bigger tragedy today. I mean, most likely. I don't know that for sure. I can't say that definitively, but it certainly seems to be the case that the Barrow County, Georgia sheriff says the shooter at the high school was stopped after being engaged by an armed school resource officer. As a parent, I'm very happy there's a cop with a gun in my kid's school. 100%. I would like there to be more than just one. I'm not saying it has to be militarized. I think that's a ridiculous notion. I think the cop's presence there is a very positive thing. I don't want the kids getting arrested for food fights and for, you know, breaking wind in class and all the dumb things that we did when we were kids. Those are disciplinary matters. As long as that doesn't happen and they're there to keep the kids safe, I'm all for it. I love the idea of that. But the left hates the idea of an armed police officer around schools because they hate guns and they want this mythical idea that if they just ban guns or ban a gun or whatever, that this will solve that problem. But you're never going to solve the crazy evil problem or the deranged problem or whatever. And I don't know what motivated this 14-year-old kid. None of us do yet. We don't know. Was the kid bullied? Was the kid on drugs? Was the kid on psychotropic drugs? Who knows? We don't know. I'm sure all those details will come up. But the one thing that we do know is that this school resource officer confronted the kid. The kid surrendered. He didn't want to go out in a blaze of glory. And he would have had he not surrendered. And had that guy not been there and cops had to penetrate the building, it could have been even worse. So, you know, that's thank God. I mean, thank God that was the case. All right. We do have tickets to give away in the next hour for you for Politics and Pints with Donald Trump Jr. and Dom Giordano coming up on September 12th. Friday, we're live at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. I hope you'll join us for that. It's going to be a great day. It's going to be a lot of fun. 3 to 7 p.m. You don't need a ticket for the event. Just come on by and say hello. And you can stay for all the show. You can stay for some of the show. You can stay however you like. You can, as long as you like, you can be there. And we'd love to have you for it. It'd be great. We'll have a lot of fun. So that'd be fun. There's also Kathy Hochul, the governor of New York. Remember how her aide was arrested yesterday? Former deputy chief of staff, very high ranking official, was arrested for working with the Chinese Communist Party. In the 5 o'clock hour, I'll bring you some comment from the governor of New York, Kathy Hochul, who was asked about this. Plus, there's a lot on this whole issue of Brazil banning Twitter and what that means. Really, what that means of an entire country banning X. You know, and you got to wonder, too, would the Eagles still be going to Brazil if Facebook was banned outright by the country? I don't know. I just don't know. But the idea of standing in solidarity for freedom of speech, like the guy from the 76ers, the point that he was making, Daryl Morey, about that, is an incredibly valid point. You know, where is the left right now coming out and saying that what Brazil did here is outrageous, that what Brazil is doing is threatening, chilling for the entire world and is a horrible situation and we should not allow this to occur? They're not, because they don't like Elon Musk. They don't like Elon Musk and they don't like freedom of speech. They really don't. They like control. They want to be able to control what's said. They want to be able to control narratives. And a big part of this, a big part of what today was about with Russia collusion, and that's not a bigger story only because of the fact of the school shooting today. Otherwise, it would be the biggest story. And you'd have all the corporate media networks, and I'm sure they all will do it tonight, coming out and saying, Russia's at it again. Russia's at it again. This is about their ability to control information. Jonathan Turley talked about this and how scary it is if Brazil is able to succeed in this. This is what he said. Again, this is George Washington law professor Jonathan Turley speaking on Fox News about if Brazil is able to succeed in banning X. And the good news is that Elon Musk's Starlink, which is his satellite internet provider, which is not controlled by the government, and obviously since it comes from space, the government can't shut, there's no wires to shut down or anything like that. You buy this device to put on your home. Starlink will not block X. So anybody in Brazil who uses it, or anybody in neighboring countries or anybody else, Starlink will continue to provide the service, which is good. Because Elon Musk, I mean, the guy has been a stalwart defender of freedom of speech. Kamala Harris coming out and essentially now and talking about this idea of having the government regulate social media. Matt Taibbi gave an interview about this, and it was long, but Matt Taibbi's point was Kamala Harris has no understanding of freedom of speech, no understanding of the First Amendment. But she said that. She said she wants, you know, government regulation of social media sites. She won't give any interviews with the corporate media right now. She won't give any interviews. She won't say anything. She'll pretend like she's on her phone, on her earbuds, can't hear you, can't hear anything. But I'd like to know, do you support this? Is this something you think is a good thing? Will she be asked that question? Because she did say in the past that she supports censoring on social media. So we'll talk about all that. All right, straight ahead, we got 30 minutes of nonstop talk to you, brought to you by our friends. Starlink did block X. Well, how did that happen then if he controls it? Do you know how?
Last night, they finally caved and blocked it.
Oh, they did. Yeah. But I thought he owns it.
He does own Starlink. I don't know all the details. I just know that as of now, it's blacked out in Brazil.
Gotcha.
Even via Starlink.
Okay.
He fought it for a while, though.
What's that?
He did fight it for a while, though.
And he eventually...
I think he caved, yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll get more details on that as we continue. And we'll give you all the latest on the school shooting in Georgia. If we get any motivations of the shooter, we'll certainly bring that to you. So don't go away. 855-839-1210. And that's the big story of the hour, brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. VanariaDental, VanariaDental.com. A top dentist in New Jersey for 10 consecutive years. 856-786-2020. Coming right back.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.